This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with you all night long from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. The NBA regular season, it is over. The Masters has come and gone as Rory McIlroy has won his second green jacket in a row. The NHL, though, they are not quite done yet. We have to get through this week, and then over the weekend, 1 week from now, we'll be recapping the first couple days of the Stanley Cup playoffs. To help us bridge that gap between now and then, we're going out to the Progressive guest line, welcoming in VSiN NHL analyst. He is Jonathan Davis at West Coast Hockey NHL. You can find him over on X, and he joins us on the Progressive guest line. JD, thanks as always for being here. Now, strategically, what are we looking at this week? Any big storylines that jump out to you that you think are worth monitoring or flagging or watching as we get into the home stretch of the regular season?
Well, okay, so I guess one of the big things is the Philadelphia Flyers are 2 points away. They get a win in any fashion. They clinch third place in the Metropolitan Division, and they eliminate both the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Washington Capitals. So they play Monday night. They host Carolina, a team that has absolutely owned them. Carolina has won, I think it's 8 straight and 16 of 17, Dustin. That's dominance. Now, all 3 games with Carolina, though, this year have gone to overtime. So I will be on the draw, in this one here. But that's a big, that's one of the storylines. There are a lot of games, Dustin, we were talking about it before the break, I call cardio games. guys just going for a workout. Games mean nothing. You know, teams like Minnesota and Dallas, the next game that means something for them is when they both meet, Saturday or Sunday in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs against each other. So their games this week, it's all about resting guys and not getting injured. And so, that's the one thing you've got to wait until lineups are put out, whether you find out, in the morning when the teams are practicing, or sometimes it may be a game time decision. And this is kind of like where you get more like NBA betting, where you really have to wait and see who's in and who's out, especially for teams, Dustin, that have already locked up a playoff spot.
As far as totals are concerned, I'm going to force you to make a blanket statement here, but would that mean more unders than overs just because you're not really sure, or do you think maybe the play gets sloppy late in the year?
I think it really just depends on the game. Like, I would look tomorrow to Toronto and Dallas, that game going over. I think that one's sitting at 6. The Maple Leafs don't play defense. It's foreign to them for quite some time. So I could easily, guys are just going to try to pad their stats. Like William Nylander of the Maple Leafs is a guy that's going for 40 goals. He's 2 away. I just think, that game to me is a game where, no one's worried about defense, so we could see goals. But then you've got a game like, maybe the Vegas game. Like Vegas and Colorado played over the weekend. It's a 3-2 game that went to overtime. Great to see Stormy on that game, by the way. She did a phenomenal job as the ringside reporter there. So you just, you really just have to look at the situation and what the games mean for a team. Because that Carolina-Philly game tomorrow, Philly just wants to at least come away with a point and make things tough or tougher on the teams that are chasing them.
Jonathan Davis is our guest, VSiN NHL analyst at West Coast Hockey NHL on X. Also, daily write-ups over at VSiN.com. He'll have plays in all these games, including the playoffs. It's invaluable to start your day. Go to VSiN.com. You can read his articles and everything else we have to offer right now on the website. So let's get into some of these games coming up on Monday. San Jose at Nashville, JD, where they're plus $1.30. The Preds minus -155. Total in the game is 6.5. You've got a few plays you like in this matchup. What jumps out?
This is my Cheesecake Factory game, and I'll just leave you with a couple. The Nashville Predators have won 15 straight games over San Jose. Their forward, Philip Forsberg, has got a goal in 7 straight and 8 of 9. So give me Nashville to win this game in regulation. I got that at plus +100. Give me Philip Forsberg to score a goal. You can get that at about plus +135, +140. I would even look at Forsberg for 2 goals possibly, And here's another thing with Forsberg. He has scored the first goal against San Jose in three consecutive games. Not just the first Nashville goal, the first goal of the game. So, you know, there's some fun props that you can go with there. Those are a couple of things that I would target. I'll have a couple more things up in my article on Monday.
This feels like it should be a fun one. Colorado and Edmonton, the Oilers -105 at home, -115 are the Avs. Total in the game is 6.5. What are you looking at in this game?
Well, you know, it would have been more exciting, you know, a couple weeks ago. Like the last time they met in Colorado was a great game. And for Edmonton, they came over with a 4-3 victory. That was huge for them. The game means nothing for Colorado. Not at all. They've clinched first overall in the NHL. It's another game that they're not going to have their head coach. Talk about injuries, Justin. Dustin, their coach took a puck to the head.
Whoa.
In the game against Vegas on Saturday on the bench. So he's not even making the road trip for the final two games. Talk about having to play hurt. So I'd be very careful about Colorado. The one thing that I will do with Colorado is that their forward, Martin Natchez, is 1 point shy of his first 100-point season in the NHL. That's a pretty big milestone for NHL and any NHL player to put up 100 points. So I'm going to target a Natchez point, and I'm going to parlay that with the Nashville Predators just to win that game, not just to win the game on the money line. You should be able to get that at plus money.
We're chatting with VSiN NHL analyst Jonathan Davis at West Coast Hockey NHL is where you can find him over on X. How about Detroit and Tampa? Going to go at it as hard as they can. The Red Wings here on the road, plus $1.70. Tampa Bay at home, a -205 favorite. Total, 6.5. What's the play here?
Yeah, I think the Red Wings probably spent the day on the beach today in South Florida. They got eliminated from the playoffs yesterday. They were extremely distraught. It's a team that was sitting at a playoff spot, you know, for going into the new year. Just a terribly disappointing season again for the Red Wings, who now have taken over, I think, the longest playoff drought in the NHL from the Buffalo Sabres. So I think Tampa just wipes the ice with them. I like Tampa here, -1.5 goals. I think you can get that at about +135. The Lightning are fighting for home ice advantage in round one, whether that be second place in the Atlantic Division, fighting with Montreal for that. They still have an outside shot at winning the division if they win out, especially if they win out in either regulation or in overtime. Not a shootout, but they still have a chance at overtaking Buffalo if the Sabres were to collapse.
Let's go over to Chicago where they're hosting Buffalo. Buffalo is -218 on the road, plus $1.80 with the Blackhawks. Total in the game is 6.5, JD. What jumps out to you here?
Well, the Sabres are just the better team, and I like them. And so what can go wrong here, Dustin? You've got Buffalo that should just destroy the Chicago Blackhawks. So there's two ways that you can target it. I would look at Buffalo in a money line parlay. You could money line them with Tampa, both teams just to win the game at about +126. You could take both teams to win in regulation, Buffalo and Tampa. You can get that at +236, but I would look to Buffalo, you know, take your pick of, you know, who you like. I just chose Tampa. You could look at Nashville. I'm so invested in Nashville and a couple of parlays that I don't want to, you know, put them into too many parlays. So I just looked at them with Tampa, who I think should have no problem beating Detroit. So yeah, Buffalo, Tampa, find a way that you want to play it either in regulation for both money line or money line for one, regulation for another. There are creative ways to do it, but it's a game that Buffalo should win. The other play that I'm looking at, I will sprinkle on Buffalo's defenseman Rasmus Dahlin to score a goal tomorrow. Dustin, he's one shy away from 20. That's a magical number for any NHLer, but especially for defensemen. There are only six NHL defensemen this year that have scored at least 20 goals, and Dahlin has gone through one of the most tumultuous years. His wife needed a heart transplant. He went back home to Sweden to be with her during the year. He has battled back, and it's just been remarkable how his season has turned around now that he knows his wife is healthy, as it would for anybody. But I also like Dahlin to score a goal. And if it's not tomorrow against Chicago, than play him in their final game. But I think the Sabres find a way to get him as 20th.
That is a plethora of information. You want more of it? You go to VSiN.com. You read Jonathan Davis's article every day, breaking down the hockey board. Before I let you go, I love the new setup. I love the backdrop behind you. Who are on the toys? I see Ovechkin. Gretzky. Who else?
We've got Mike Camilleri.
Don't even know who that is.
Used to play for Montreal, New Jersey. We got Ovi. We got Gretzky. Two Gretzky statues and a Malkin one as well.
I like it. I've never asked you. Who is your favorite player of all time?
Oof, of all time. God, you know, it keeps changing. It changes over the years. Right now, for me, it's Mark Stone of the Vegas Golden Knights.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's nobody that enjoys celebrating his goals and his teammates' goals more than Mark Stone. If you haven't seen it before, go check it out. It's absolutely, he is just, yeah, his exuberance is infectious on his teammates.
All right, well, mine were Pierre Turgeon. I wore number 77 yep. because of him. And Sean Bates, who was like this energy off the bench. Yeah, I don't even know if he was good at hockey, but I just know he'd come off the bench for the Islanders, just knock people around, make something happen on a play, and then go back for the rest of the game. He's Jonathan Davis. He's never on the bench. He's always starting here at VSiN. Check him out at VSiN.com. Thanks, as always, for doing this. We'll chat soon.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome stuff from JD, per usual. We got a lot to get to over the course of the next 45 minutes. Plays on Monday's baseball card. Also, we'll chat with David Ardsma, former big league pitcher. But when we return, a recap of Rory McIlroy winning the Masters. That's next on Cashing Out.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Dustin Sweetelson here. You there. Thanks for making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. We had a moment that you'll remember in sports if you were watching earlier today as Rory McIlroy won his second green jacket, his second consecutive Masters, joining a group that, quite frankly, makes him an immortal. To help us put some perspective on that, we're going to go to Augusta National right now. Welcome in Brian Kroll, CBS Sports golf analyst on the Progressive Guest Line. So, Brian, help us understand. It's a national audience here. They like to bet on things. And I think a lot of us went into this thinking, you know what? Rory got the monkey off his back last year. I'm not sure he's going to have that competitiveness that we saw from a season ago. And he shut us up pretty quickly. What'd you think of the performance of Rory to get out strong the first couple days here?
Well, I think I was one of many, Dustin, who thought he might run away with this thing after, after 36 holes. I mean, there was that line of thinking that, you know what, the weight has been lifted. He completed the career Grand Slam, and now maybe he can play even more freely and build on his accomplishments from 2025. And wow, through 36 holes, that's what it looked like it was going to be.
How about the way he was able to just find a way to salvage whatever he was giving himself? Because he wasn't hitting fairways through the first couple days here, Brian. I think it was 90th out of 91 golfers at hitting the fairway, but was able to make everything work with the irons and the chipping and the putting. What'd you make of that side of things for him?
Well, there's a couple angles there. Number one, the second cut here at Augusta National is not as penal as, say, rough at a U.S. Open or a PGA Championship. So you can get away with some wayward drives. And the key really for Rory, especially in rounds one and two, he was missing on the proper sides of the fairways. And when he escaped, he was escaping brilliantly and putting himself in perfect position, great angles in to try and save par. And he just was a master of getting out of trouble in day one and day two.
We're chatting with CBS golf analyst Brian Kroll, also the 2026 Golf Pro of the Year on Cashing Out. So Rory enters today, and he has a lead, but he had plenty of competition. He had Cam Young in his group right on his heels. Justin Rose then took the lead for a brief moment. But Rory found a way to battle back here. Talk to us about Sunday at the Masters, which always creates so much drama, and Rory, with a little bit of adversity, having to find a way to win it.
Yeah, I mean, he, just like last year, he made it exciting. It was great theater, a lot of drama here on Sunday, and the roars, I'm telling you, to be here on the property and hear the volume turn up through the Georgia Pines, it is always a thrill, and Rory just is an exciting player to watch in both directions. So to go from minus 12 all the way down to minus 9, he let a bunch of other players get back in this. I remember after Friday night, I'm looking, he's minus 12. Scotty's even, I believe. And then on Sunday, the two of them are nearly tied. It was just a wild ride. And he really did allow the rest of the field to have a sniff at a green jacket here, even halfway through this Sunday. So a lot of excitement.
He helped the TV ratings too. I'm sure we'll see that when they come out, is that, you know, Rory making it a situation where other guys were potentially in the mix the last couple days certainly helped more people focus on the Masters. Brian Kroll is our guest, CBS golf analyst. And I mentioned before you joined, Brian, Rory's now an immortal. I mean, to win back-to-back Masters, first time since Tiger did it in 2001-02, to have two green jackets, it's a very short list, potentially still plenty of time for him to go for three. Do you think it's fair what I'm saying is that he is now a living legend that we're watching walk amongst us?
I think he was a living legend last year at this time when he completed the career Grand Slam. And that was such a massive career achievement. And to now have six majors to his credit, the career Grand Slam, back-to-back wins at Augusta National, this guy, and the cool thing is, he's only in his mid-30s. He's got tons of time to continue this legacy. I would put an early wager on McIlroy in 2027 to win his third straight green jacket.
Man, no one's ever done it. No one's ever won three in a row. But at this point, I mean, how are you going to doubt this guy with the way he performed at the course? And I want to ask you about the course now because, you know, the last few years, Brian, it feels like there's been some overcastness in the skies. It hasn't looked like its best. We've had rain delays coming up here and there throughout the tournament. Felt like everything looked picturesque over the weekend. How do you feel the course handled everything?
It was a postcard. I'm telling you, I've been here. This is my 16th straight year with CBS. By the way, a shout out to the entire crew and the whole team at CBS. They are incredible. But I've got to tell you, I have never in all my years seen a forecast like this come to fruition. Mother Nature was absolutely kind, and I thought the golf course played fantastic. It was. Everyone's going to find a way to be critical here and there, but Augusta National, you've got your winner at 13 under. It was absolutely perfect, and I think it brings out the strongest players. And when you watch this event, this tournament on Sunday, you start to see the likes of Scottie Scheffler in the mix. Justin Rose gets back into this thing. Cam Young, by the way, started this week with a 40 on his first nine and had the lead for part of this Sunday. All the best players seem to rise to the occasion, and no tournament does that better than Augusta National, and they did it again this year. And granted, they did it under sunny, beautiful skies all 4 days of the tournament. It was beautiful.
Brian Kroll is doing an awesome job just painting the picture of what went down over the last 4 days. The Masters in 2026 was phenomenal. You touched on it with Cam Young. He had a brief moment where he had the lead earlier on Sunday, as did Justin Rose. Justin Rose, 45 years old. He has gotten so close so many times, Brian. What is it about his game that he performed so well at Augusta National? And is there still a window where he can be competitive and maybe win a green jacket?
Well, he's given hope to all of us older guys. At 45 years of age, he still has incredible clubhead speed and ball speed. He's hitting at great distances. He picked up yardage this year. So he keeps himself in great shape, and clearly his game and his mind are perfectly suited for Augusta National. He just needs a few more putts to drop at the right times. That miss on 17 just kind of took the air out of the tires, so to speak. But Justin Rose, I give him so much credit for being in the game as often as he is here. Three times a runner-up, twice a loser in playoffs. But I'm telling you, I think he's got another year or two to give it a real good shot, and I hope he does well.
And then Scotty earlier today, Brian, he shoots a 65, just out of his mind, and really one putt rimming out there earlier today, away from us having maybe a playoff with him and Rory to win this thing. What do you think about what Scotty Scheffler was able to do when he was not playing his best golf to start this thing out?
Well, I guess what I would say is the green jacket goes to Rory McIlroy again. But we are again reminded that Scotty Scheffler is just the best golfer on the planet. I mean, there's a reason he's number one in the world. You can't count him out. To see his name slowly rising up the leaderboard, that's a roar in and of itself at any major championship, and especially at this tournament. He just proved to all of us that he is so at the top of the game. Rory's going to catch him a few weeks here and there throughout the year, but he is clearly the number one player in the world.
Brian, you painted the picture perfectly. I felt like I was at Augusta with you. I'm jealous that I wasn't. Thank you so much for doing this tonight. Get some well-earned rest, and I'm sure you'll be turning around real quickly and being at a golf course somewhere else very soon.
I'm mixing my own little azalea right now to celebrate a great week. And thank you so much, Dustin, for having me on the show.
Awesome stuff from Brian Kroll, CBS golf analyst, checking in live from Augusta National. It doesn't get better than that, man. I don't know what it is. I think it's the first sign I'm getting old that, like, I really care about the Masters. I'm not really a golf guy. I just will check in here and there. I played it probably like 10, 15 years ago. I used to play it not regularly, but like once a month or so. And like, I enjoy the game. I am no means any good at the game. I don't love watching most events, but I am learning, you know, it's what we do here. If you're gonna watch something, you might as well put a few dollars on it. And it sure makes it way more exciting. So I was way into the Masters, but I do think there's something about getting older, knowing that this time of year, every single year, we're going to have this event, and it's just something to care about. And right now I got something you should care about. VSiN.com. It's completely free. No subscription needed. You can access MLB and NBA prop projections powered by Opta AI, plus real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa. Pro-level tools, zero cost, but only for a limited time. Head to VSiN.com and start using them today. That's VSIN.com and start using the tools on the website today. All right, that's where we stand with the Masters. It is in the books. You'll hear from Rory McIlroy a little bit later on in the program. But when we return, we are finding out the prices for the Eastern Conference postseason. The West is coming right around the bend. Nick Whalen, RotoWire and VSiN host, joins us to break it down next.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, coming to you from the Circa Hotel and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, broadcasting as always SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. We're a few weeks into this baseball season. I got to tell you, some of the storylines are really fun to watch. We've got a situation with Jose Soriano all of a sudden becoming a frontline starting ace for the Angels. Jordan Walker, a guy that a lot of people gave up on, is leading the majors in home runs. I know it's early. I know it's April. But these are fun things to watch. And the one that I'm really monitoring the most is this situation with Mason Miller, where he is just mowing people down for the Padres. We've seen his Cy Young odds go from 100-1 down to 20-1. And I'm going to touch on a lot of that with our next guest. Really looking forward to chatting with David Ardsma, former big league pitcher, also trainer at Top Velocity Pro. You can check him out at MLB Network Radio as well. And also a guy that I used to kill it with in MVP Baseball 2004. Did you have like a knuckle curve in that game? I feel like I used to just like wipe people away with you in that video game. Thanks for joining, David. How are you doing?
Dude, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, they had a knuckle curve, but I wasn't a knuckle curve guy. I was a slider, split, fastball. I had one in college, and like it wasn't any good, but I loved it. I actually played that game a couple times. I was like a demo, and I was horrible at myself. I'm like, that's not how this works. Like, I'm better than this, I think.
That's awesome. That's kind of cool, though, to play with yourself in a video game. That's like a little kid's dream coming true. And, I mean, you spent over a decade in Major League Baseball, and you've seen these organizations inside and out, so I'm really excited to get your perspective here. And what I brought up with Mason Miller, I want to start with, because he's striking out the side left and right to begin the season. He is a dominant closer that San Diego obviously pinpointed and went out and got in the offseason. But you know how these guys work when they vote on these awards, David. You've been around the block. And do you think they would actually give a closer the Cy Young Award if he has a monster season?
When it's as dominant as Mason Miller is, absolutely. I just heard when Eric Gagne won the Cy Young, and he was dominant. The thing is, as a reliever, you have to do record type of things. You have to be so far above and beyond. And in today's game, where relievers mean more than they've ever meant in Major League Baseball history, absolutely. And so when he's out there and he's doing this, what has he got, 19 strikeouts, yeah, 7 innings? Something. I would have loved to have those numbers. I always felt like in my heart I had those numbers. I was never close to that. But he is so dominant in every situation. It's incredible. And he's been dominant. Like, this isn't just a flash in the pan. He's been basically a year and a half of just dominating all of baseball.
David Ardsma is our guest, former big league pitcher, over a decade in the league. Check him out on X at the DA53. We have some really fun pitching matchups coming up on Monday, so I just want to get your thoughts on these guys and where we stand with them. And the first game on the board is fascinating because Seattle's going for a four-game sweep of Houston, which the Mariners have not looked very good to start the year. Houston's in this tailspin. George Kirby on the bump, taking on Mike Burrows. Kirby has great numbers, lifetime against Houston. What stands out to you about him that makes him such a strong starting pitcher?
You know, he's talked about in the past being a competitor and being on the mound and what that means to be able to take that ball every 5 days. That's what I love about George Kirby. You know, and the Mariners, they have such a good rotation. Yeah, offense, they got to figure some stuff out as a team, kind of get going. But again, what the type of season they came off of, a lot of times it takes a moment to kind of get that flowing again. And you're starting to see them have it a little bit. And over 162, they're going to be just fine.
And then let's go to another pitcher on the board tomorrow. As a former big leaguer, I'm just curious, when you watch Christopher Sanchez, what stands out about him? Because this was a guy who looked like he had a live arm, but now he looks like a legitimate Cy Young contender. He's picked up where he left off a year ago. Philly hosts Chicago and Javier Assad, where they're a heavy favorite in the game. But Christopher Sanchez feels like he has staying power as a Cy Young candidate. What do you like about his game?
You know, what I love is to follow his career. And when he started, and your high five ERA to a mid three to kind of a low three to a 2.5 to now in a 1.8 or whatever it is, you're seeing him get better. And I love the conversation last year. Should have been an all-star. Obviously, timing and all that stuff was kind of off. But he's gotten better, more dominant, and he is a legit Cy Young candidate, should be a legit Cy Young candidate. It's just he kind of falls in like the tier of like there's a couple other guys in Philly ahead of him. No, he's making a name for himself. I love it. I love how he pitches, how aggressive he is, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Gavin Williams, David, is a guy that I was really like bullish on coming into the year. I just like the stuff, and Cleveland just seems to just churn out these starting pitchers. He's taking on Matt Liberatore and the Cardinals coming up on Monday. It's a pretty evenly matched game. Cleveland's minus 118. St. Louis is minus 102. Total in the game is 8. When a young pitcher figures it out, what do you usually pinpoint for them just kind of putting it all together? Because it does appear that Gavin Williams is doing that.
No, without a doubt. And again, like we're talking about Christopher Sanchez getting better every year. You know, Williams came up and had a little bit better start than Sanchez, but you know, you're talking about a 4 and a 3, and now he's pitching really well. What usually happens is they've got great stuff, then they learn how to command it, how to pitch to big league hitters. And when you're coming up, you've got all the stuff in the world. So you're punching tickets left and right. You're just beating guys with your stuff. And then you get to the big leagues, you get beat up a little bit, you walk a little too many guys, and you have to learn how to pitch to these hitters. And that's what it's so fun to watch. Also, on the other side, Libertor, I grew up watching him in middle school. I wow. played catch with him and as a freshman and as a senior in high school. And to see his growth to going from a huge prospect first rounder, battled, kind of traded around a little bit, now to start to see him progress. You know, he had all the stuff in the world. Now you're starting to see him becoming a big league pitcher.
David Ardsma is our guest, former big league pitcher himself at the DA53. You can find him on X, hear him, Sirius XM, MLB Network Radio as well. I mean, dude, you had 38 saves in 09, 31 in 2010. That is impressive stuff here. And I want to get your perspective on David Peterson now, because we talked about Gavin Williams. Down the stretch last year was great. David Peterson, first half great, second half not good. And that seems to have carried over here into 2026. Peterson and the Mets take on the Dodgers, which is a whole daunting task. How does he get back on track as a pitcher?
Not face the Dodgers.
Valid point. Valid point. That is a pretty valid point.
You know, hopefully you get your five and you get a lead and you get to come out of the game and watch the relievers give it up. You know what it is? It's sometimes you get the tough break. You know, you're battling. You're having a tough start of the year, 0-2 over 6 ERA, and then you're facing the Dodgers. You know what? You got to find out what you have, face the best in the game, and hopefully you come out on top. But sometimes when it rains, it pours.
I want to know what you think about the situation with the A's playing in Sacramento, because it just feels like such a difficult situation for the starting pitchers. And if you look at the home road splits for Luis Severino, last year he had a 6 ERA at home and won just barely over 3 on the road. It's Texas in town, and that lineup's pretty good. The Rangers are minus 131 as a favorite on the road, plus 109 with the A's. The total is 9. But if you were a pitcher, if you were a pitching coach, what would be the strategy when you're playing in a ballpark where the ball can just fly out of there?
It's just like pitching in Colorado. When you know you're dealing with it, you accept some of the runs. You accept some of that trouble, some of those things that happen in those ballparks, and get over it. Pitch like you're going to pitch into the seventh inning every single day. Take your 5 runs. Tip your hat, and you hopefully you have a 6-5 lead as you walk out the door. Be okay with some runs, but winning the ball game. And that took a long time for Colorado pitchers to figure out. Then they got going. You know, obviously we've had our struggles since then, but you know you go into Colorado, you know you go into Sacramento, runs are going to happen. Just deal with it. Who cares about the ERA? Get your win for a team.
All right, then lastly, Monday is Paul Skenes Day. That is a holiday we all like to celebrate in baseball. It's the Nationals in town. We haven't seen Skenes put up like a monster strikeout performance. How do you feel about the way he started the year, bouncing back from that rough game against the Mets in the opener?
Obviously, that's not how you like it. And a lot of that wasn't his fault. Yep. Right? O'Neal Cruz missed a couple balls. And so those things get you. But you know what, Paul Skenes, there's a reason why he's Cy Young winner, Rookie of the Year winner, keeps coming back. That's somebody you don't want to see. The strikeouts are going to start coming again. Sometimes it's dialing all your pitches in. He seems like a tinkerer, always getting new pitches. Lock it in, and you're going to be just fine.
David, that was an awesome conversation. Would love to chat baseball with you a lot more throughout the regular season. He's David Ardsma, SiriusXM MLB Network Radio, at the DA53 on X. Go check out his website, topvelocitypro.com. Really appreciated that conversation, man. Let's chat again soon.
Dude, this is great. I love it. I love talking baseball, so thank you for having me on.
Awesome stuff from David Ardsma. Just absolutely killing it there. Baseball people, it's taking us home. You got to remember, we got a long grind before football begins, and I'm in. I've got like 6 or 7 plays already for Monday's card. I'm loving what I'm seeing. We're starting to feel the identities out of a lot of these organizations. Some playing a little bit better than we expected. Some maybe not as good. There could be a sell. There could be a buy low. We'll discuss all of that when we return. A preview of what's to come in Major League Baseball on Monday, plus a couple of early NBA playoff bets. That's next on Cashing Out.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
You've got the group chat. You've got the opinions. Now put your money where your mouth is. Cut is the social betting platform that lets you bet directly against your friends
and others. Users on sports, politics, pop culture, even personal bets. Every bet is fully customizable and pre-funded, so nobody flakes when they lose. Plus, you get cash back on every single bet you make. Use promo code VSiN to get a 20% deposit bonus on your first deposit. Download Cut today at KUTT.com or in the App Store and use promo code VSIN. Welcome back into Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. It's VSiN, the sports betting network, where the NBA regular season is over, so you can stop complaining about it. And you're like, Dustin, you're the one complaining about it. I know. I'm saying it to myself, to you, so that I remind myself it's going to be competitive basketball the rest of the way. We'll touch on the playoff series. We'll touch on the odds for the play-in games as well in just a moment. Also, a bunch of options to bet on as far as Monday's Major League Baseball card is concerned. But the story of the day and the story of the next few days is going to be that Rory McIlroy is becoming immortal in golf. He just won his second Masters in a row, joining a group of just three other golfers that have ever done it. Jack Nicklaus, Nick Faldo, and Tiger Woods the last time in 2001 and 2002. Rory thought back on what went down and put his win into perspective.
You know, I find myself in a very similar position today to where I was in the last round last year, you know, two or three behind. But I played solid golf after that. You know, I was four under for a 11-hole stretch there, which, you know, is what I needed to do to give myself that cushion going up the last. And, you know, I just tried really hard to focus on myself. I thought if I could get to 14 under, I thought that everyone else would struggle to get to that score, so that was the number I had in my head. I got to 13 on the last, and you know, had that two-shot cushion, so didn't quite get there. But just keep going, keep your head down and keep going. And if you put the R's in and you work on the right things, you know, eventually it'll come good for you.
Rory cashes 13-1 pre-tournament to win this thing. He shot a 1-under-71 on Sunday to capture the Masters Championship. And he very clearly knew the course well because he wasn't hitting fairways. 90th out of 91 through the first 2 days of this tournament in terms of hitting fairways, but is able to work things out with his irons and his accuracy and his putting. And on Sunday, it wasn't easy. Cam Young made a surge, had the lead briefly. Justin Rose made a massive jump and had the lead for a few holes as well. Rory, ultimately, the consistency, the ability to knock down big pressure-packed shots, wound up with him winning his second green jacket in a row. He's now one of 15 golfers to have 6+ majors in his career, one of 10 golfers to have 2 wins at the Masters. There's a group of 5 that he's waiting to join potentially next year that have won 3. Arnold Palmer, your only 4-time winner. Tiger Woods has won 5. Jack Nicklaus has won 6. As Rory McIlroy wins the Masters for the second season in a row. Now let's start looking at the card for Monday in the Major League Baseball. And we're going to start with Houston at Seattle, where you've got Mike Burrows taking the hill against George Kirby and the Mariners. Houston's looking to avoid a sweep here. Seattle's a -171 favorite. You can go plus $1.41 with Mike Burrows in Houston. Total in the game is 7.5. I was trying to find this, and I had it up briefly, and the sports book I was looking at, Caesars, pulled it down as I was going to bet it, which was over 15.5 total outs recorded for Mike Burrows. It went off the board. It has not shown up again. DraftKings has his total outs at 16.5, and at that point, I wouldn't bet it. I really want the 15.5 on Burrows. So if that pops back up, that's something that I will likely be adding here, but just want to check again. It is 16.5 at DraftKings. I don't hate it, but I really like that 15.5 number. Prefer that a lot more if it will repopulate somewhere in the market. Now, a play I do have in this game, I am going to go Seattle first 5 over on the other side. George Kirby in his career has great numbers against the Houston Astros. A 3.10 ERA at home, 4-1 against Houston lifetime in 9 starts, 50 1/3 innings pitched, a 2.15 ERA, 48 strikeouts in that span for him. Give me George Kirby, first 5, -0.5 run at -118 there. -118, by the way, is the juice on a bunch of these bets, including the Dodgers team total against the New York Mets.
David Peterson takes the hill for New York, and he has been terrible going back to the All-Star break last year, now carrying over into 2026. You can't really do anything in this game just because on one side, it's Justin Robleski, who's going to be an opener here for a couple of innings. Dodgers are minus 168 favorites, plus 139. The other side with New York, totals 9. I'd consider an over 9 play as well, but that means the Mets' bats are going to have to wake up. And right now, they're doing what the Mets tend to do at times, which is completely disappear offensively. So instead, I'm going to trust the Dodgers to knock around a pitcher that is ice cold coming into this game in Peterson. 6.14 ERA over his first three starts. The Dodgers are not exactly the recipe you're looking for to get things going in the right direction. Give me LA over 4.5 on the team total. I'm also going to back Atlanta, taking on Miami at minus 140 with Grant Holmes on the bump. Yuri Perez is on the hill the other way at plus 119. Total in the game is 8. Yuri Perez, not great numbers against Atlanta. A bunch of these guys like Acuna and Albies and others have pretty good lifetime numbers against him. And Grant Holmes is a very serviceable back end of the rotation slash swingman for the Bravos. I'll take him at minus 140 with an offense that I trust much more at home with the Atlanta Braves and back Atlanta in that game. I'm also looking at Texas and their team total. They go to the A's in Sacramento where Luis Severino's on the hill. He's plus $1.13 on the money line. Eovaldi for Texas is minus 136. Total in the game is 9. Give me Texas team total over 4.5. Luis Severino, when pitching in Sacramento last year, a 6.01 ERA versus 3.02 on the road. He is not the same pitcher at home, and it's really not his fault. When you play in a AAA ballpark, those alleyways, those gaps are a lot shorter with the fences. More pop-outs are going to fly out of there than normal, and I expect Texas's approach to be, we're just going to put the ball in play and hope for the best. Brandon Nimmo is scorching hot. Jake Berger has phenomenal numbers against Severino, as does Josh Smith, who's homered, and a few other guys in this lineup. So I like the over for the Rangers team total at 4.5. I also added one more play here. I just want to pull it up here on my app if I can get it in time. The under in Cleveland and St. Louis. Gavin Williams on the hill. He's minus 118, minus 102 the other way with Matt Liberatore, who's been phenomenal since becoming a starting pitcher for the Cards. Total in the game, obviously, is 8 because we're on the under in this game. Gavin Williams to begin the season. A 2.04 ERA through his first three starts, 25 strikeouts in 17 and a third innings. But this started last year, about the midway point in the summer. He became a different pitcher. It's like everything started to click for him. So I think that St. Louis's offense, which isn't very deep, even though they have Jordan Walker, who's the leading home run hitter in baseball right now, I don't really love the bottom of their lineup. And then Cleveland offensively is pretty limited overall. And I think Liberatore will keep them at bay. So because of the pitchers in this matchup, give me the under 8 in the Guards and the Cards. Ooh, that rhymes. On Monday night. And then that will be about it for now. I'll add some more plays up at VSiN.com/picks. Once some more player props pop up in terms of total bases, some of these other pitcher props that aren't really available right now. So those will be up on the website a little bit later. As far as the NBA is concerned, I do have an official play for the play-in games, which begin on Tuesday. So we technically have time here, but I'm looking at a number of 5.5. Charlotte is laying it against Miami. I think that's way too many points. You have a super experienced championship caliber coach in Eric Spoelstra, okay? This guy is a known X's and O's tactician. He's very respected. And Miami's deep. I know they don't have superstardom that we're used to seeing from teams that we have expectations for in the association, but they've got plenty of guys who could play. You got Hero and Bam in the starting lineup. You've got a guy in Norman Powell who's super solid. Andrew Wiggins can be fine. They have some guys coming off the bench in Jaime Jaquez and Ware that can be totally serviceable here. I think they're a little bit deeper than Charlotte. I think Charlotte is a little overhyped. And that's not to say I don't enjoy Charlotte. That's not to say that I don't think they're a fun team to watch. And I love how LaMelo Ball's game has become a little bit more refined. And Con Canepo is absolutely a candidate for Rookie of the Year and put up monster three-point shooting numbers. It's just, I think Miami's being a little bit disrespected in this market. So I'm going to take them and the 5.5 in that game. The other game that is on Tuesday is the Phoenix Suns and the Trailblazers. And that total looks like it's on the move. So we opened at 219.5, which is that's where DraftKings is. Caesars is at 218.5. If I can find a 219, 219.5 when the show ends, I'm going to be on the under here. Phoenix at home, they control the style of fight,
And I think because of that, that this will be a slower pace game against Portland. So if I can get a 219 or a 219 and a half, give me the under in Portland and Phoenix coming up on Tuesday. That'll do it for us here on Cashing Out, but stay with VSiN all day long as it gets started with VSiN by the books at 7 a.m. Eastern time. Then it's a numbers game at 10 a.m. Eastern, followed by prop points at 1 p.m. Eastern time. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I'll see you next time on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.